It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Football talk never stops in New England. Join the conversation. Ted Johnson on the Sunday Football Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Having worked here before, having grown up here, just a great opportunity for my family and very excited. Yeah, very excited. I've had a lot of different experiences, you know, but at the end of the day, the opportunity to come back here presented itself, and it was something I couldn't pass up. So I hope maybe I can, you know, bring some of those experiences to the table here and, you know, help our football team. I'm looking forward to getting back and working with Bill and working for Bill and doing what's best for the team. You know, that's what this place is all about.
And that is your new offensive coordinator. How about that, Patriot fans? One Mr. Bill O'Brien. Of course, the speculation was after the season ended, when the Patriots put out a statement that they were going to be looking for an offensive coordinator. Of course, Bill O'Brien's name was at the top of the list. And how about that? A lot of people's kind of favorite, I'll be honest, Paul. You know, you look at the kind of the guys that they brought in to interview, although I played with Adrian Klim and Sean Jefferson. I just felt like Bill O'Brien made the most sense. What did you think of the hire and it just your overall thoughts of Bill O'Brien coming here to run the offense?
Yeah, I mean, I love Billy O, and I you know, had a chance to get to know him a little bit the first time he was here, and I'm glad to have him back and got a chance to speak to him very briefly before he shot that video for us the other day, and I think he's excited to be back and be part of it. You know, my feeling, if I'm going to be completely honest, and again, I don't have anything bad to say about Billy O'Brien, but I was kind of looking for the opportunity. And I know Greg Bedard has talked about this a little bit, and I agree with him. I think when you have a high profile opening like offensive coordinator, it's an opportunity to get people in your building and pick their brains a little bit. And I think there were a couple of guys, like you said, you know, and I love Sean Jefferson from his time here as a Patriot. But, you know, positional coaches that aren't really, I don't think, they're not running their own systems. They're not really running, you know, a program of their own to garner all that much information from. I think it was a lost opportunity. I think they could have had, even if you wanted to stick with Bill O'Brien, I'm fine with that. I think you get some guys maybe from that Shanahan tree or the Sean McVay tree. And again, I've heard Greg Bedard talk about this with my boys earlier in the week. I agree with it. I think it was a missed chance to sort of get some more information.
That's interesting. There was one time, Paul, that I took a free agent visit. I played all 10 years for the Patriots. was never officially released by the Patriots, just kept signing contracts. But there was one moment in time where I was given permission to kind of go out there and look around. I took one trip to Green Bay. It was because I knew the coach there, Bo Pelini, who was my former linebacker. You know, Bo was coach of linebackers out in Green Bay.
Bo didn't like us too much.
He didn't? Well, Bo, my man, he wound up a little tight. God bless him. I loved him. But, man, interesting guy. But so I went out there to see them, and it was interesting. Ed Donatell, where was he? Ed Donatell was coaching a team in the playoffs. I forget where, a defense, and I can't remember where. He's still in the NFL. He was the defensive coordinator for Green Bay at the time, and they basically, I think.
Oh, he's at Minnesota now.
Minnesota.
Yeah. He's in the I thought you meant where was he then. No, he's in Minnesota.
He's in Minnesota now. Yeah. Okay, great call. And yeah, Ed, so I feel terrible because you wasted my time, because I think he wanted to milk me about how we played in the red zone. We had the number one rated red zone defense in 2001, and I took a trip to Green Bay in the offseason in 2002, preceding the 2002 season, and Ed Donatell just grilled me on what we did in the red zone. And then the contract offer was, you know, it was kind of, to me, it just showed that they were wasting my time. And so that stuff goes on all the time. I'm just kind of highlighting your point for you, is that you what you're saying, that's interesting, that it was a missed opportunity. I will say this about Billy O'Brien. I covered the Texans for years, probably 7 years, and Billy O was the head coach probably of the four of the 7 years that I was down there. I saw him get Tom Savage, Brian
Hoyer,
excuse me, Brock Osweiler, yep, to the playoffs. Okay, they won four division titles down there. The offense, I will say this, I think maybe the high water mark for Bill O'Brien's tenure down there was in 2017. They drafted Deshaun Watson. They had a quarterback competition to start the 2017 season. Tom Savage versus Deshaun Watson. And we're like, really? You know, a quarterback controversy? I mean, a quarterback, competition? Okay. Well, it looked like, you know, it didn't look perfect with Deshaun, but in the preseason, but we all kind of thought, look, he's the 12th overall pick. You got to play him. Bill decided to start the week one game against Jacksonville with Tom Savage. That lasted one half.
Yep.
Deshaun comes in the second half of game one, lights it up, and then goes on a tear. For the next seven games, Paul, the Houston Texans offense to start the 2017 season was the best offense in the NFL. I mean, by most of the metrics. And then Deshaun blows out his knee.
Yep.
Okay. And the rest is history. But the point is, when he got his hands on Deshaun in those 7 weeks, it was the best offense in the NFL pre knee injury. So that's the kind of thing I draw from. I think he is clearly a massive upgrade. Right. That's not a stretch.
Right.
But I think what it feels like, they're going to go back to the old system to some degree with a little bit of like Bill's, you know, O'Brien's new stuff. But I think he was the best candidate really for the job of people that were potential candidates. I don't know who all the offensive minds are.
No,
but
question. And to your point, it's a massive upgrade. And I also like the fact that he spent the time in college. I think that could be beneficial. So we know he knows what he's doing in the NFL because he had success there. And then, you know, the last couple of years, he's in the SEC, the best conference in football, in college football. And he's got to at least be somewhat familiar with the personnel, in the best conference. And he's got to be aware of some of the things because, you know, there was a time 10, 15 years ago that you would say, well, that's a gimmick. That's a college thing. You can't run the air raid. You can't do this. You can't do that. Those bubble screens and, you know, these kinds of, you know, shotgun spread, that's great for Steve Spurrier and the fun and gun, but that's not going to work in the NFL. Now everybody does all these things. You know, these schemes that were once mocked and ridiculed at the college level are more and more, the RPOs and everything else, are more and more seeping into the NFL game. Well, Bill O'Brien has a base knowledge of that from both perspectives, the pros and college. I think the guy's extremely prepared. You know him really well from your time in Houston, too, so you know what kind of guy he is. I think the problem in Houston, I think there was more on the personnel side.
Yeah, it was.
At the end, Rick I think Smith it was a power struggle. And
it was.
Yeah, and I think that's what led to the unraveling. But I think in terms of coaching, the actual X's and O's in the football, I think he's by far and away was the best candidate.
Do you have issue? People are questioning, you know, okay, that he's when he was in Alabama, the offense, I mean, that everybody wanted him out. The offense wasn't that good. For my opinion, I don't get too worked up about like how great of an offensive coordinator he was in college. It's like, I mean, look, I don't know what they were averaging, probably 45 points a game.
I mean,
that's not.
They lost to Tennessee 52-49.
Oh, right. So there you go.
And they want the offensive coordinator out. I mean,
I'm not carrying over him being an offensive coordinator for Alabama the last 2 years and translating it into the NFL. I know what he can do at the NFL level. And even though it's a lot of people have issues with what happened in Alabama, look, you're right. It's really, I mean, he lost on, you know, they lost two games because of their defense giving up touchdowns late in games, right? So anyway, I think it was a good hire. And I just think I'm curious how much autonomy he gets. A lot of people think that, you know, that the job isn't done and that there's a lot of needs still need to be addressed. And we're going to get into that. And we're also going to just talk about where are the Patriots at right now as we speak on paper. Is how improved is this team with bringing in Bill O'Brien, and how close are they to the elite of the AFC teams? We'll get into all that and your call, 617-779-0985. You're listening to the Sunday Football Show with Paul Perillo. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Sunday Football Show with Ted Johnson, talking football right through the NFL draft on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sunday Football Show, Ted Johnson, Paul Perillo with you, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Just kind of talking about what happened this season, going over kind of the gory details, if you will. And then we're going to move on in this show. We're going to look ahead, but you got to kind of go back first and just talk about what happened. And I think, of course, that article I mentioned, from the Herald, Andrew Callahan and Karen Gregan, they just did a great job of kind of detailing all the stuff that was going on back there, and bringing it all out to light. And it just is, it's a fascinating read and kind of puts in perspective what kind of happened this season. So 617-779-0985. Before we get started though, guys, here we go. Mike and Malden's been waiting for a little bit. Mike, what's going on?
Yes. Morning, gentlemen. Hey, listen, morning. Sean Jefferson, offensive coordinator, Vincent Brisby, wide receivers, Ben Coates, tight ends coach, yes. Marion Butts, running backs. That would have been a staff.
Let's
Todd
go.
Ricci, offensive line. Yeah, so, you know, listen, Bill gets a lot of blame for what happened with the offensive coaching staff this year, and there's a theory that's not been floated that I think makes a lot more sense, which is maybe Bill O'Brien was an option for them last offseason, and maybe Bob Kraft didn't want to pay that money, right? And so Kraft said, we might need $4.5 million to fix this offensive staff. I'll give you two. And Bill said, rather than do it halfway and fail halfway, I'm just not going to do it all and fail all the way and illustrate a point that we need to invest in the team and the coaching staff. He made some comments about them being 27th in cash spending at the end of the year that I found interesting. And just kind of reading the situation, it feels like Kraft gets off easy and everyone puts the blame on Bill.
Interesting. All right, Mike, appreciate that.
I could tell you with some certainty that didn't happen.
That what didn't happen?
That he was Bill O'Brien was going to be the offensive coordinator right. last year, but didn't get enough money.
There you go. Very good. Yeah,
I can tell you that is not how it unfolded.
That's not how it unfolded. So that was not some part of some big master plan. You know what? And I think it's the interesting that Mike brought up, and I find this audio. And I don't know, Tom, if you could maybe if you could find that, you know, Bill Belichick talking, referencing 27 million, that they are
27th in cash spending over the last 3 year period.
And if I remember correctly, not soon after that, it was Bill, I think, actually reached out to the Globe to kind of clarify his statement.
Yeah, he was trying to make a comment in terms of, you know, everybody focuses on that free agent splurge, but we did that once.
Right.
And over the span of 3 years, we really didn't do that. It was a one-time thing. Again, this kind of gets to my point of that was the three-pronged attack of that press conference where I don't think it sat well with a lot of people. It was a lot of finger-pointing and excuse-making. It started off, Josh Allen was just too good. He just made these throws that he's just so good. And then in the middle, it was, yeah, well, Mac, he could play quarterback in this mm-hmm. league. And, you know, look what I'm doing with this guy. I mean, and then it finished with, you know, we're 27th in cash spending over a 3 year period. And I think that's what kind of elicited Robert Kraft's response a couple of days later. No, we're going to make changes because this isn't good enough. We're going to do something different.
And it was also, I think it was important that it got out that Robert Kraft, the last thing I think Robert Kraft wants people to think is that he's cheap. I don't think that's the case at all. Like, when it comes to salaries, and Mike, who just called in from Malden, he was alluding to the fact that, you know, Kraft is maybe, you know, not wanting to pay Bill O'Brien. I think that if that theory is out there, I think that is a BS theory. Listen to Bill talk about being 27th in spending. In cash spending NFL, just kind of listen to his tone, and I want to kind of tell you what I think about it right after. Go ahead, Tom.
When you look at the National Football League and the salary cap situation, and it's the same for all teams, what we try to do is we look at it over a time frame. 1 year is a Polaroid snapshot, but actually there are multiple years involved. At some point, the reconciliation has to come. Our spending in 2020... our spending in 2021 and our spending in 2022, the aggregate of that was we were 27th in the league in cash spending. A couple of years were low, 1 year was high, but over a 3 year period, we're one of the lowest spending teams in the league.
Okay. When I heard that, and it was fascinating to hear that because the initial response from a lot of people, and I think it was particularly on Felger and Mads, if I remember correctly, was that Bill was calling out his owner. That was kind of how it was framed initially. The thinking was from a lot of people, oh, wow, that's, you know, wow, he's calling his owner cheap. That's not going to sit well with Robert Kraft. How does that, you know, I can't believe he said that kind of thing. And then it was made clear that no, through back channels and people that talk to the team, that Robert Kraft does not sign off on that. He wants to, he'll spend whatever to give him the best football team. My point is, when I hear Bill Belichick say that, it sounded like bragging to me. It was bragging to me. He controls the money. What people don't, I don't think people realize is I'm almost positive for the most part, it's Bill pulling the strings when it comes to what he pays a player, How much he wants to, pay for each position, spending up to the cap. Bill is like a lot of, I think, people in management jobs or where they have to report to somebody and they come under budget. They get bonuses for coming under budget, And Bill, I think, was bragging that, look, I don't have
to. He comes from an economic background.
He does.
It's what he believes in. And that this is why a lot of people, and it's not necessarily, that's why I agree with you. It's not a cheap thing. But I think that what Bill really believes in, and there's going to be a lot of talk about this. We can get this full circle to the offense and fixing things, right? They need a number one receiver, right? Everybody agrees that they need a big dog. And then everybody looks at what happened last year. A.J. Brown, first and a third and a four-year, $100 million contract. Well, can the Patriots do something like that with a T. Higgins, who's entering the final year of his contract? Maybe he's looking to move on. Who knows? I just don't think Bill believes in it. It's not a cheap thing. He doesn't really think that that's the way to build a team, is to go big into resources, both in draft picks and compensation, financial compensation. He doesn't now he worries about what happens to the structure in the locker room. That guy's making that. I've been here for 3 years. I'm not making that.
You wouldn't be able to speak to that more than I would. Because I find this kind of subject to be fascinating, Paul. And just if real quick, we kind of keep just talking through this is I think I've always felt it's more like Bill's like, this is what this guy's worth in my mind. And he's not going to negotiate. See, what people don't realize, you don't negotiate with Bill. Like, he gives you a number and you either take that contract or you don't. It's not, hey, we'll start here, you start there, and then we work our way to the middle. That's not how Bill negotiates. And if you want to offend, and I can speak from personal experience, if you want to offend Bill, ask for more than what he's offering you in a contract. You don't haggle with him. This is what you're worth in his mind, and you don't get a dollar more than that. And that's how I have always felt. That's how he looks at it. Each position, he has a designated number he thinks your value is, and he's not going to go a dollar over it. More about principle than, see, you have the money to spend. Hey, we're 27 in cash spending. Yeah, you could spend more, but you don't, because your ego, or you just in your mind, that player's worth this. And if they ask for more than that, then,
I think he's very much, has that kind of a mindset. And I look at it, I play it forward a little bit with, like a Jacoby Myers. Or Jonathan Jones, two guys that are going to be free agents. They're going to be, Jacoby Myers is probably going to be a $12 to $15 million
people think
a year
I'm
receiver.
Crazy when I said that. Because it's the same thing, Paul. And
what do they think he's going to get? What do people think he's going to get?
Some people would say like $8 million is too much. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm not telling you what I think is enough or not. I'm just telling you what his market value is going to be. It doesn't matter what you think he's going to be.
Right. A lot of people think it's like much lower than that. I'm like, you're crazy. Did you see the production?
I also think that he has a built-in advantage that on a lot of these free agent lists, he's at or near the top of the list for wide receivers available. He's hitting at the, if he was in a different year and he was the eighth or ninth best receiver, then maybe he wouldn't get the kind of salary that's commensurate with this. Timing's everything. And I think he's going to get it.
Let me ask you this, though. He was an undrafted free agent. Has Bill ever given big money to undrafted free agents? Is there one you can name? The most recent one to go out the door, J.C. Jackson.
J.C. Jackson left. Malcolm Butler got a pretty good contract. Jonathan Jones got a pretty good deal. Malcolm Butler, that was obviously a different situation. It's a good point. And you sort of wonder, do they think you're an undrafted guy. I made you.
Yes.
I'm responsible for you.
That's it.
And you should give back to me.
Loyalty,
if Jacoby Myers stays for something like $8 million, $7 million or whatever, that's because Jacoby Myers doesn't want to leave, not because he couldn't get more than that on the open market. I'm convinced of that. A team like Kansas City, who has Travis Kelce and then really a lot of wide receivers, Juju, Valdez-Scantling. Good players, but nothing. They're a lot like the Patriots wide receiver core. They have a lot of NFL players, but no stars beyond Travis Kelce. That's the big difference.
Right.
You wouldn't look at a guy like Jakobi Meyers and say, I can plug him in and he can be a dependable guy for me and catch 70 balls? I would absolutely do that. A good team with a guy like Jakobi Meyers, absolutely.
I think it's I agree. I think it's a safe bet. All right, we still got, I got a lot to, I want to ask Paul. We've got a couple segments left. We'll step aside here. But when we come back, I just want to talk about, can trust be kind of restored? Because clearly, with all the dysfunction, you wonder, is this thing is even fixable at this point? And then also, I want to get into, with Paul, just the championship games. We've got the NFC championship game and the AFC championship game, and we want to preview those games as well. That's all coming up on the Sports Hub on the Sunday Football Show on 985 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Ted Johnson is talking football with the insiders and you. It's the Sunday Football Show on your home for the Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I know this is high praise, but to have him out there is like having, I shouldn't even go there, but like he's having like Michael Jordan out there. Like, he's your leader. He's your leader. He's your guy. He's your, like... Like, that's hopefully that's the biggest respect I can pay to him, comparing to his ability to be in on the field to a Michael Jordan type. Like, this guy leads. He brings this calmness to the entire team. He plays great football. He's tough as they come. Yeah, I mean, to me, there ain't nobody has played any better football than him this year.
That's the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. I don't know. I thought he was kind of a boob when he, last year, was it before they played the Dallas Cowboys, did he wear a beat Dallas shirt or something at the podium? Oh, yeah, he was like, you know, the helmet of the Cowboys, and it just said, beat the Cowboys or beat the boys or something. And it was like, bro, that's, what are you doing? I mean, that's what you do maybe in college. You don't go to a press conference where everybody can see it. Right, you're about to play the Cowboys, and there's Nick Sirianni. I'll be honest with you. I was like, this guy's, you know, he's kind of going to fall in the same, you know, category as maybe like a Joe Judge, you know, where you kind of go, wait, just listen to the opening press conference, and that you can tell right then that they probably shouldn't have been a good hire. But nonetheless, the Eagles, what, 13 wins they had this year? They're taking on the San Francisco 49ers today at 3:14
14-3.
I'm sorry. 14-3. Yeah, you're right. Excuse me. And then of course, followed by, the Chiefs and the Bengals. So some really good championship games. I think the best four teams, I think, in the NFL are still standing. But before we kind of just talk about those games, Paul, just real quick, going back to the Patriots, the Billy O'Brien hire, you and I are both on board with that. We're talking about Jakobi Meyers. He's going to be a free agent. You talk about like what this team looks like right now, the way it's constructed. Maybe, you know, maybe Devin McCourty retires. Maybe Matthew Slater retires. So just of like leadership core guys maybe leaving the team. But with the addition of Bill Bryan, it gives me a lot of hope. I look at this team's chances for next year, Paul, and I think, I don't know. I think with a competent offensive coordinator, this is already a much better football team because we're not a lot of the stuff that we've been reporting or hearing and we're talking about, I just think is going to go away, is my guess, unless, you know, they maybe keep some of those coaches still in their old roles, but it's being reported they're not. The point is, I feel better already about the Patriots in 2023 just with the Bill O'Brien hire than I did a week ago. What say you?
Yeah, you have to feel better about the offense. I mean, we said it earlier. There's no way the offense won't be improved, even if it has the same personnel or even loses some of the personnel, just because it will be professionally designed. You know, you're going to have a guy calling plays that's called plays, and I think that alone will help. I think you can't possibly overstate the importance for Mac Jones and the rest of those guys on offense, and the feeling they'll have. Oh, okay, this is better. This is what we needed. And they knew it wasn't going to work last year. Now they know they have an offensive coordinator, so it will be better. Now the question to me, in terms of the team and their prospects for 23, and it's way too early for this because who knows what these teams are going to look like. Free agency hasn't even happened yet, and the draft and all that. But you look what happened in the playoffs, and you said, you know, you think the best four teams. I agree. I mean, I think Kansas City and Cincinnati. I would put Buffalo in there. I think Buffalo certainly fell apart down the stretch. I think the Hamlin thing had an impact on that team. But
they caught up to them.
Those three teams, to me, are clearly at a level that the Patriots aren't. I think with Lamar Jackson, that's a big if, because who knows what's going to happen in Baltimore. But with Lamar Jackson and a potentially new offensive coordinator, I think the Ravens are at a level higher than you as well.
You got to throw in one more team?
Yeah.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Studs at wide receiver.
We can get to it. I think that they have some good young talent on defense that's getting better.
You have some pieces.
I think the quarterback figured it out about halfway through the year. I think he's on the rise. Now, I think they'll probably win the division, so it's not necessarily a team that you have to worry about for a playoff spot. But I put them in that category. I think Justin Herbert is still a tremendously talented individual. They need to figure it out. That collapse was embarrassing for the Chargers. But this is just talking about the teams as they were last year. What happens, Ted, if you get an influx like you did last year of talent in the AFC? I think Cleveland figures to be better when Deshaun Watson is now a year removed from everything and gets a chance to go through a normal offseason, provided that he doesn't do something ridiculously stupid, you know, and get himself in more trouble. But I think Cleveland is a team that possibly could get in the mix for a playoff spot. Kenny Pickett, I think, is just like your guy. Showed some flashes, some inconsistency. Who knows what Pittsburgh is, but you can't kill them. You can't kill the Steelers. No matter how bad they look at times, they're going to be there and they're going to be fighting you for a playoff spot. They finished ahead of you last year with a rookie quarterback. And then what happens with Aaron Rodgers? What happens with Tom Brady? What if those two guys end up in the AFC?
And some people think maybe the AFC East even.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if the Jets
get one of those two guys.
I was waiting for you, Paul, as you're going down the names of I was waiting for it. Is he going to say the Jets or the Dolphins? Like, okay, you can say they're the Jets. Are you kidding me? Did you see how they – the Jets, they just need a quarterback. They just need a quarterback. That team wants to win. They have the players. They have a lot of older veterans that are kind of that, you know, middle class that are pros on both sides of the ball. They just needed a mature, you know, quarterback. Yep. to lead them. I think that team is hungry.
Again, and I think they're ready. Mike White played the game in Foxborough. Do you think the Jets would have won the game? The Marcus Jones punt return game?
No, I've been saying this. I think the Jets possibly could have been 2-0 if they started Mike White in the two games. At least 1-1.
Yeah, there's a lot. This is why I'm saying, like, I think the Patriots will be better next year because they can't be worse offensively, and that's going to help. I don't know what it's going to mean in the grand scheme of you know, where they stand in the AFC. Because I think there's still some good teams in the AFC. And quite frankly, I think they were kind of fortunate that some of the teams that I think probably have more talent on paper than the Patriots didn't play well last year and they weren't in the mix. I mean, you know, what if those teams bounce back? You know, I'm talking about a, you know, like a Raiders or a Broncos, you know, teams that you thought, you know, now listen, Russell Wilson looks absolutely washed to me and maybe he's not going to bounce back, but there's still a lot of other teams. And, you know, like I said, Pittsburgh,
you can't kill them.
I hate Pittsburgh.
I do too, but I'm 2-0 in their home, but we're 2-0 and we're 2-0. We've gone in there and beaten those boys so we can hold our heads high, Paul. I totally agree with you. I have all the I'm the same concerns. The Patriots, I just think if Billy O'Brien's a great start, let's get an offensive line coach, right? I mean, and then the talent, I don't know how you don't upgrade the talent, particularly on offense, more, because I just think, I think the Patriots, no problem. I will say this now, they're a playoff team, I think, for next year, but you know, playoffs, you know, the 6th, 7th seed, you know, it's like, are those teams, they're still so far from the top teams in the AFC. They have a massive talent gap, in my opinion. And so they have to get better players. If they're going to compete, I think, with the Buffalo Bills and the Bengals, you know, and the Chiefs in the AFC. So, but real quick, before we preview these games, do you think trust can be restored? Like, do you think what happened this year is going to be carry over into next year and maybe the following years, as long as Bill Belichick's the head coach?
No, I think they're all right with, you know, if it's like the way that we've been talking about. So Bill O'Brien comes in and we've sort of brought up, you know, does he have the autonomy to pick an offensive line coach as an example? Is he going to turn the offense over to Bill O'Brien? If that's the case, I think Mac Jones is fine in terms of trust. Okay. Yeah. Listen, I didn't handle it well either. You know, I could have done more to help Matt Patricia. You know, maybe they step back, they come together, and, you know, it's kind of like a clean slate. Year three, it's a big year for Mac Jones. It was going to be a big year regardless, right? Because after that third year is when you sort of have to figure out, are we going to give this guy the 50-year option heading into year four? So I think you'll get more clarity on his future here. But, yeah, I think that they can – I think the faith is restored with something as simple as hiring Bill O'Brien. Now you have to let Bill O'Brien do his job.
So right,
the way they did with Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels ran the offense.
And I think Bill should want that. Like, right? I mean, I think Bill should want right. I'm going to answer it, and I'm going to kind of middle it, which isn't fair. But I'm going to say yes and no. Can trust be restored? I think it absolutely can. I think Bill's got to work at it. I think there's a point in which Bill, you know what really can endear you to a Bill is, and there's moments, I've had my moments with Bill where we've really connected. And it was when he would say I was wrong or, hey, I screwed up. He would acknowledge kind of the elephant in the room. And it allowed him and I to kind of move past it. I think he has the ability to do the same. He could really, I think,
go a long way to repair that relationship. By just saying, "Hey, listen,
just right."
Didn't work.
But the entire team—that's
on me.
If Bill, like, you're hearing all these quotes in this article about Bill's doing this and he screwed us, and I love Bill, but man, I just think if Bill to the entire team kind of owned up and started working, just being more interpersonal and connecting with guys on a level he's never done it before. I think he would be shocked at what would come back to him. I think this team is ready to be. I think there's highly competitive guys where the compete level is really high. I think they wanted to be a great team. They just felt like they didn't have all their tools available to them and that they're ready to go. It's just Bill's got to, you know, understand. I think he's got highly motivated players that want to win on his team. So that's, I'll finish my point with that real quick. I tell you what, let's come back and do this. We got one more segment of the Sunday Football Show. We're going to get into AFC and NFC title games and then some other news and notes around the NFL that we haven't gotten to. It's the Sunday Football Show, 617-779-0985.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed.
$150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
From hard hits.
Barreling in was Ted Johnson.
To hot takes.
Where you're in the huddle and you're just like, guys, we're going to have a great day.
Ted Johnson is here to talk football with you.
I wanted to play in the game.
It's the Sunday Football Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, you're leaving everybody guessing. You've said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay, I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy that everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
I can tell.
Paul, it's so awkward, man. God, it's so awkward. Sunday Football Show with Paul Perillo. Final segment, and that's Tom Brady. That's talking to Jim Gray. And I've listened to that interview for years. I was down in Houston doing radio long before I came back and moved back to Boston 5 years ago. And that interview would be on after I would get off, and I'd be driving home from work. And I just thought it was so weird, you know, 7 years ago, and it's still very strange. I don't know. That whole thing, it was staged, and I'm not sure why, but it sounds like Jim Gray was, he didn't want anybody to think that they were being serious. He made that point, so we all know that it was staged. Why? I'm not so sure what that does for Tom Brady's street cred. But Paul, quickly before we kind of go over these games, just what do you think Tom ends up this year?
You know, I think he is going to play, but I have no idea where he's going to go. I mean, you can make an argument for a lot of different things. In the back of my mind, I'm just wondering Tennessee. You know,
can Vrabes get it right though? He had a chance first time.
That connection with Vrabel to me, I know that they got along great.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wish I had inside information. I could tell you that, you know, I spoke to the Brady's camp. I haven't, you know, and I, you know, there was a time when Mr. Brady, you know, yep. Tom Sr. would be a frequent emailer for me, but that's been a long time.
Not the case anymore,
since,
huh?
Since that's been the case. I think he's going to play, Teddy. I don't know where. I think you can make an argument for a number of different stops, but I don't know. Tennessee and the Vrabel connection.
Yeah, and you give him the chance of him coming back here. The 0%.
I don't ever say zero, but yeah, like 1%.
Yeah, that I'm with you on that.
It makes a lot of sense. Really, I don't.
Yeah, I would agree. It for a lot of different reasons. I agree. So that was Tom Brady with Jim Gray earlier this week. There's a lot of other, there's a few other things I wanted to maybe mention if we have time, but quickly, today's championship games, do you have a feel for who wins? Let's just start with the, you know, the Philadelphia 49ers game.
Yeah, I think that'll be, you know, real physical game. That's a game that you'll like.
Love it.
That's a throwback kind of a game. Two tough defenses, two really good fronts on both sides, two good offensive and defensive lines. I think the Eagles have a little bit more to offer on that side. I think the Purdy situation has got to catch up to them at some point. I like the Eagles. I think Hurts has been. I know a lot of people have said, look at the way, you know, you don't have to have the great quarterback.
He's playing great.
I mean, Jalen Hurts is an MVP candidate, yeah. And you know, I think
you can make an argument for the affordable cheap quarterback because that's what Jalen Hurts
right.
is. But
I mean,
he's a good
Mahomes
quarterback.
Will win MVP, but not because he deserves it any more than Hurts. I think he's been fantastic all season. Oh, by the way, they have three losses all year. Two of them he didn't play in.
Right.
So,
right.
That, I mean, that just shows you how much of an impact he has on that team. I think he's healthy. I think they run the ball in a little bit of a different way because of his presence. And I know a lot has been made of the Niners. You can't run on the Niners. They haven't given up a 70-yard rusher in like 2 years.
Yeah.
But I think this is a different kind of rushing attack. And I think the Eagles and their ability to get after the passer will force some mistakes with Purdy. 70 sacks on the season.
Yeah.
I like the Eagles at home.
It's hard to argue. And I watched that Eagles-Dallas game last weekend. And you know what my predominant thought was the two defenses – it wasn't that the offenses were playing bad. It was the two defenses for I thought Dallas' defense played well until the bow broke, right? And
they played really well. I mean, if you really look at it, the touchdown drive that broke their back was a fluke. I mean, it was an unbelievable catch
by
Kittle.
Right. You know? That's a phenomenal.
It's like
right.
a 35-yard play in the middle of that right. drive, and that. Then they get the third down penalty to extend the drive in the red zone. Like, even then, I agree with you. I thought Dallas' defense played
really
well.
I thought it was excellent defense being played against – and I thought those were good offenses, just better defenses. I'm with you. Here's what I think. I think the Eagles, top to bottom, are better, but I think they win this game partly because I just think the 49ers have been playing in some physical games. And the Eagles got the bye, and I think that always benefits. Yeah. I've won all my Super Bowls by having a bye. The AFC Championship game, who do you like, the Bengals in the Chiefs game?
I'm not buying the everything is awesome around Patrick Mahomes' ankle. I don't think that you can have happen what happened to him last week and just be fine this week. I like Cincinnati to go in there and do it again. I think the Chiefs were kind of, I don't want to say slumping because they won all the games, but I don't think they were overly impressive down the stretch. And I think Cincinnati has been faced with more difficult opponents and played better. I think to go into Buffalo and dominate the way they did, that really impressed me.
That was very impressive. And it was last year. Didn't Patrick Mahomes, before the AFC Championship game last year against the Bengals, I think he got popped and he got like whiplash. I don't think he was and he wasn't as good in the AFC Championship game because I think of the injury that he got in the preceding game in the divisional round, and that affected his overall play. Look, Patrick Mahomes, what makes him so damn good is his ability to move in the pocket, buy time for those guys to get uncovered. Right. That mobility is not going to be there, and I think that's going to be huge. And you mentioned it. I mean, besides Travis Kelce, it's kind of shocking to think about it. I mean, the Chiefs don't have anybody that really scares you.
Yeah, and evidently he got banged up this week. Kelce at practice. I mean, he's going to play, obviously, but I think he was added to the injury report as questionable, and so I don't think he's 100%. Yeah, I think, like I said, I love the Chiefs. I think that they're, you know, I think Andy Reid's a terrific coach.
He is.
I think he struggles with some game situations, you know, clock management and things like that. But I mean, four straight NFC championship games with Donovan McNabb. Now he's five straight with Patrick Mahomes. Guy can coach. The guy can coach. I have a lot of respect for the program.
Can.
I just don't think that they are vintage Kansas City this year. You know, they go to overtime at Houston down the stretch. You know, like these sort of middling games against bad teams. You know, they lost to the Colts. The Colts.
They did.
Earlier in the season.
But you know what's interesting? Because I agree with you. They're a little bit of the offense is it's not like it used to be, but they haven't improved. I think their defense might be better than it's been in the past.
Yeah, and I think that they'll probably attack Cincinnati's offense differently. Buffalo just sat back and played zone all day
yeah.
and didn't get any heat.
Unbelievable.
On Burrow. I don't think Kansas City will do the same thing. Spagnuolo will be much more
aggressive. Oh, my gosh. What was Buffalo thinking? Unbelievable. So you and I both, we agree. We think it's going to be a Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengals Super Bowl. That is all for us. Coming up next, my man, Joe Murray and Leroy Irvin, they will take you from here. We appreciate everybody listening. The Sunday Football Show with Ted Johnson and Paul Perillo. We'll be back next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Have a good day, everybody.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.